This Israel Report is brought to you by the Blue Agency. Your Israel property is in good hands. Owning properties in Israel can be a great investment, but challenging to manage if you're based abroad. The Blue Agency will manage every aspect of your property, finding and vetting tenants, maintaining your property and getting it rental ready, negotiating contracts and collecting rentals, reporting back to you regularly. The Blue Agency has built a reputation for trust and confidentiality over 20 years. The Blue Agency, your Israel property is in good hands. Contact us at www.theblueagency.com.
The Israel Report for the latest news and insights with Anthony Reich.
Anthony Reich, Boker Tov, good morning. How are you?
Boker Tov, as always, we have a lot to talk about, but I did just want to start with a little kind of unrelated snippet about an event that took place about a week ago under the auspices of the Under 19 Basketball World Cup. And the event that took place was that the Jordanian national team was drawn to play against Israel in the group stage. And the Jordanians decided not to show up for their game. It's not that they didn't show up, it's that they decided that they weren't going to play the game. They notified everybody ahead of time. They said they weren't going to show up. And in the end, Israel was awarded a technical 20-0 win in that particular group stage. Ultimately, Israel went on to compete in the quarterfinals and lost in that quarterfinal and has ended up seventh place in the Under 19 Basketball World Cup, which I think is a very, very notable achievement. But there is this question about why Jordan, a country which has an official peace agreement with Israel, would wish not to turn up for a game and make a political statement of that sort. And so there was a lot of anger saying, well, you know, the Jordanian government and the national authority, the Jordanian basketball organization shouldn't allow an event like that to happen against a team that comes from a country where there is an official diplomatic relationship and there's no real reason or no real justifiable reason why the Jordanians shouldn't turn up to play the game. I feel quite sorry for the Jordanians, to be honest, because I suspect that the individuals would have loved to have played the game against Israel. Israel is a pretty strong team. The Jordanians were playing a team that was a lot stronger than them, and I think that the Jordanians would have appreciated and enjoyed playing the game. The problem is that they are under such massive external pressure from all kinds of Arab and Muslim-related groups about how they should be behaving, especially under these circumstances when there's the war raging in Gaza. How should the Jordanians respond? And I think for the Jordanians, it's a case of damned if you do and damned if you don't. I don't think that they could have really found a suitable solution that would have been, you know, acceptable and accepted by all parties concerned. And to be fair, I think that the Israeli Basketball Association, the chairman of the Israeli Basketball Association, actually said that he had hoped that the game would take place, especially because there's peace between the two countries. But then he went on to say, I can also, to some extent, understand the Jordanians. They were under immense pressure. So this is not necessarily a decision that's come from within, saying, we don't want to play them. I think that this is as a result of enormous pressure that has been placed on that team from all over the place. And these are kids. These are teenagers under 19 years old. And I think it's very sad that they've been placed in this situation. So I have some sympathy for them because, as I say, I don't think that there's anything that they could have done which would have been the right answer. But I'm proud of our Israeli team who've gone on to achieve a noteworthy achievement and have managed to come through that little slip and done pretty well ultimately.
Yeah. The sad thing is that until there is recognition that Israel is a legitimate country, this is all this does is underscore it. And I'm not sure that we can get to a situation where there's peace, real peace in the region, whilst this is the approach. I know that it just is what it is, and hopefully things will change. But it's a very, very significant, I think, reflection on the approach in the region. And that is, to me, is quite worrying.
I agree. And I just wonder whether, we're going to talk about some of the events that are going on in Washington right now, but whether some of that may not ultimately an impact on the way in which the region is currently constructed.
Before we talk about Washington, let's just talk about 5 Israeli soldiers, IDF soldiers, being killed, 14 injured in an ambush attack in Gaza last night. What's known about this?
This is something that was kind of rumors were wildly circulating late last night, that there'd been a major incident in Gaza, and that there were stories about people, IDF soldiers, having been killed and injured. It all happened in Beit Hanun. The Netzach Yehuda battalion is the one that was involved. And for those people who are familiar with the name, the Netzach Yehuda battalion is the one which ultra-Orthodox soldiers have signed up to, those who've joined the army. And unfortunately, 5 of them were killed in this incident, which took place late last night. And what we understand is that they effectively were on a foot patrol in the Beit Hanun area when they were enticed into some sort of an ambush where there were explosive devices that were laid in a certain area, and they went into that area, which detonated these explosive devices. And that wasn't the end of the story, because this ambush seems to have been so well planned by Hamas that when the rescue forces came in order to retrieve the injured and those who'd been killed from those explosive devices that had been detonated, the rescue team came under attack from a gunfire from around the area. People who were actually hiding around, waiting for this to happen, waiting for the search and rescue team to come in, and then started to attack them. And that's why we have, unfortunately, 5 soldiers who have been killed, most of them 20 years old, one a 28-year-old, a reserve sergeant, first class from Haifa, and of course, members of the search and rescue team who were also injured while they were trying to rescue these soldiers. So a very, very severe, painful, and significant event that took place in Beit Hanun last night. And if we count up all the soldiers who have been killed since the beginning of the war, the number now comes to 888, which is just a huge number and a massive, massive loss for our country. So I can't begin to express the amount of mourning that we feel and the sadness that we feel at the deaths of these soldiers. And of course, our condolences go to their families and to their friends and all involved, because this is a very, very huge loss for our country. And I hope that, we are getting to the end of this period where we are being forced to send young men and women into armed combat to face the dangers that they face. And it kind of puts into context the story that I discussed yesterday about that interview on Sky News and what that soldier had to say, and how IDF soldiers are responding to the stress of the situation in Gaza. And it's hardly surprising to me that people are twitchy, and that even young people or so-called innocent civilians who seemingly have no business trying to harm anybody, that our soldiers are nervous about what might happen, what they might be up to, what Hamas might have tried. Because when you see young children going up to IDF soldiers and you see their parents in the background screaming at the soldiers while the camera's on, go on, shoot them, you do it, you know what to do, shoot them. And we've seen incidents like that where young toddlers are sent with a Palestinian flag to try to to intimidate soldiers who are standing armed on the other side of the road, and the parents of that toddler are screaming to the soldiers to kill that child because it's all in front of the cameras and all therefore good for social advertising and social media. This is all the so-called PR campaign that the that Hamas is trying to put out there, and they're using the youth and they're using innocent people to do that job. And again, you know, we've suffered this massive loss last night, and until we can actually reach some sort of an agreement where our soldiers will safely be able to withdraw from that and we will be able to bring them home. Unfortunately, they're at risk, and we can't let up for a moment. We can't assume that people who are innocent or look innocent around a particular area don't present any harm to our soldiers, because they are at massive risk, massive danger each and every day, each and every minute that they're going in there and doing their jobs.
Absolutely impossible situation to be in. Prime Minister Netanyahu held talks with President Trump and U.S. officials in Washington last night. Is there any update on the progress on a hostage release deal or anything else coming out of Washington?
Nothing official has come out of the meetings last night. We understand that Prime Minister Netanyahu met with President Trump. He also spent quite a long time, President Trump and Steve Witkoff, I understand, was the meeting that happened. And there was also apparently an additional meeting that took place, a fairly lengthy one, with Secretary of State Marco Rubio. Of course, the reports coming out of Washington focus on the fact, A, that President Trump invited Prime Minister Netanyahu and Sarah and Yair, Prime Minister Netanyahu's son, to dinner last night.
Wow. Okay.
And so, of course, people are wondering why it was a family dinner when this should have been more of a working dinner than a family arrangement, but so be it. The other story which has come out is the fact that Prime Minister Netanyahu arrived at the meeting with President Trump with a big envelope. And then they sat down around the table. The envelope was opened, and the Prime Minister presented to President Trump a letter. The letter was one that Prime Minister Netanyahu had written to the Nobel Peace Prize Committee, nominating President Trump to be a recipient of the Nobel Peace Prize. Now, many people in Israel are cringing at this particular event and thinking that it's an entirely inappropriate and cringeworthy event. Other people think it's quite a smart diplomatic move to try and entice Trump if needed, or even further towards Israel's side. But I'm interested to know what listeners think about the fact that the Prime Minister decided that that would be a good moment in front of cameras to show the President that he had been formally nominated to the Peace Prize Committee to receive a Nobel Peace Prize. I think it's still a little too soon. I think there is still a lot of work to be done. And while this may well be something of an incentive for President Trump to bring home the deal, I'm not sure that he really needed that incentive. I think that this is just something that the Prime Minister is using in his usual diplomatic skill, diplomatic way to try and pull the President further to his side. But we do understand that the negotiations for a hostage release in Doha continue, that the latest proposal that was presented by the Qataris to Hamas has been rejected. An Israeli source has said that they're not particularly worried about that rejection because, in his words, the gap between the two sides is very small. And that gives us some hope that even this week there might be an announcement of a hostage release arrangement, and even hostages might come home before the end of this week. We really pray that that will be the case. Steve Witkoff, we understand, will leave from Washington to travel towards Doha and join those negotiations in the next day or so. And we also understand that the Prime Minister and the President are due to hold another meeting in Washington. So I'm not quite sure when that's been set up for and what the purpose of that meeting is. But clearly the work has not yet been done. They've had the dinner, they've presented the letter, they've had some discussions about what's been going on. I think that there is an attempt or some sort of an intention to formally make an announcement of some sort during the course of this week. I hope that that will be the case because, as I've said before, even though our military has done an incredible job of getting control over Gaza and doing some amazing work, ultimately, we need an agreement and we need to bring the hostages home. And I think that only an agreement will allow us to do that. There are many people who speculate that the IDF knows where our hostages are being held in Gaza. Mm-hmm. That may well be so. I wouldn't be surprised if that was the case. The problem is that you can't get near them for fear that they will be killed right away. And that's obviously not the intention of the whole exercise. The intention is to bring them home alive. So even a military exercise, which would look quite heroic on the face of things, that ultimately results in the death of our hostages would not be a good idea. That's not what we're here to do. We're here to bring them home alive. And I hope that the results of the discussions in Doha and in Washington during the next day or two might well result in that. There is certainly a sense of optimism that something is going to happen, that this is not just being put together without any reason. We certainly hope that it will yield some results.
How long is Netanyahu still there for?
I don't know exactly how long he's scheduled to be there for. Initially, we all thought that it would be the meeting yesterday and that would be it. It may well have been that they've changed the schedule. I'm not sure that the second meeting was actually planned all along. It might have changed due to events on the ground. So at the moment, no idea how long he's planning to be there for. I expect that he will come home before the weekend, but it's not clear at the moment how long he's planning to stay there for.
We'll certainly keep an eye on the story. It is a major and developing one. Anthony Reich, thank you. As always, we can catch Anthony tomorrow morning at 7:45 for the Israel Report.
That Israel Report was brought to you by the Blue Agency. Your Israel property is in good hands. Owning properties in Israel can be a great investment, but challenging to manage if you are based abroad. The Blue Agency will manage every aspect of your property, finding and vetting tenants, maintaining your property and getting it rental ready, negotiating contracts and collecting rentals, reporting back to you regularly. The Blue Agency has built a reputation for trust and confidentiality over 20 years. The Blue Agency, your Israel property is in good hands. Contact us at www.theblueagency.com.